You've been bought with a price. You're not your own. That the blood of Jesus Christ was shed for you. Your heart is sprinkled with that blood tonight. The love of God being shed abroad in your heart by the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Let's lift up our hands and praise Him. Just thank Him, Father. To know we are the purchase of His blood. Father, we thank You. You bought us with a price, dear God. The price of Your own precious blood. Corruptible things like gold or silver couldn't redeem us. But here we are tonight. That is why we're going to come in Your presence. That is why we're going to offer prayers. That is why we're going to approach You with faith. Because the blood was shed. Because there's a new and living way. Because it gave us access. Because of that, You said, come boldly before You to the grave. That is the merit of our prayers to be offered upon tonight, Father. And we recognize that. And now, dear God, we lift our hands in acknowledgement of Your great presence and with thankfulness and appreciation that You love us, Lord, and You give us this privilege that, Lord, what greater power there is than putting in the hands of human beings that pray, that through prayer we can ask for anything in Your name. That if You even said to this mountain, be thou removed, and don't doubt, You can have what You ask. That when you stand praying, believe that You have received what You ask for, and You shall have it. Oh God, let us recognize as mortals what is given unto us, Lord, that we can stand here and praise You tonight. Oh God, have a victory in our hearts. And thanking You that You made all these things possible. Hallelujah. We thank You, Lord, that You did come down, not only in Calvary, but You came back down to this age. Hallelujah. You're here in the midst of Your people tonight. Lord God, as we get in Your presence and Your Holy Spirit overshadow us, touch us, Lord, with Your precious holy hand tonight. Let us, oh God, know, Father, by witness of Your Spirit, and You be present here in our midst. Dear God, those petitions have been received. Those requests have been answered. Hallelujah. Like You commanded the angels to drop a handful on purpose, like Boaz did it in his field. Because He was thinking about Ruth. So we believe tonight that was only a time for You, the great Boaz, the great kinsman redeemer, that Your angels could drop on purpose. For there He commanded the blessing, even life forevermore. Hallelujah! That something can be put into the hearts of Your children. They can leave with something they can feed upon the days to come to give them strength and nourishment for the journey in the days that lays ahead. Oh God, may You grant it tonight. We praise You, we thank You, Father, for Your richest grace and blessing that we can so freely enjoy tonight and the fellowship that we have through the blood of Jesus Christ, the blood that speaketh better things. The blood that cleanses us as we walk in light. Hallelujah. Bring us in a more intimate fellowship. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Jesus. Down from His glory.
Hallelujah.
Mine all in all. What condescension. Think of God coming out of the mountain. Oh, bringing us redemption. Oh, to get the spirit and worship. Not in the dead of night. Not one faint hope inside.
Oh,
Hallelujah. Let the day we have a promise of a rapture, a resurrection, oh God. Hallelujah. That we don't have to go through the tribulation. We don't have to bypass that church. That we thank you, Lord. Glory be to God in the highest. Hallelujah. And then a future hope that you'll be prepared for the earthly bride who's united to the heavenly bridegroom. Oh God, we don't have to go to hell. Thank you, Jesus. Glory be to God in the highest. Oh, we love you. Oh, we adore you. You've given us a token. We hold a token in our hearts to know that God will not come to condemnation. We have the very earth of our change. That our body has been brought in a ruptured condition already. Hallelujah! In the same spirit that back in the dead, dwell as it shall quicken our mortal body.
Who have faith she had a token in the judgment hour. She had a token, an atonement, amen, that she will not come into condemnation, that she was gonna, the judgment is gonna bypass her. Amen. What have we received this hour, friend? What is the Holy Spirit showing you in the world? Are you that Gentile in this hour of judgment? When the destroying angel is going forth, has the atonement been made known to you? Do you have a revelation of it? Is it on display in your life? Do you have the peace? Do you have something to bring your family under in order to take care of you alone, to take care of those connected to you? Why did God put it in the Bible? Is it just Jewish history? Is it just a story? Or is it something in the last days? How can we claim we are Rahab? We don't know that token. Are we certain of the hour? Can you see your identification in the Bible? But they had it in Egypt, in the beginning of the journey, and they had it at the end of the journey. But at the end of the journey was a Gentile. A Gentile. In the beginning of the journey was Jews. Up in the upper room wasn't Gentiles, it was Jews. But at the end of the journey, I'm not an Ephesian to the end of the ages. Is a Gentile. Gentile faith. Glory be to God in the house. Oh, think about it tonight. Doesn't it make you feel to worship God? Doesn't it make you feel to praise God? If you've been praying with that token tonight, then everything you ask for, you have it. And if you've been praying without the token, then you have nothing. And then if you've been praying for the token, then you need to know what the token is, what results it's going to bring in your life. What identification it gives you to have that token. Amen. Because that's Jesus Christ. That's the message of the hour. Everything is centered in that token. In the Holy Spirit. In Christ. He's the center of your life. He's the center of the revelation. He's the center of the Bible. There's no place that God made man outside of Jesus Christ. see the blood, I will pass away. Let me sing that tonight. And you sing it knowing that you have it on display. Proudly displayed it. That's why you can sing it. But Abraham saw that vision. He saw a bride from around the world marching on with Christian soldiers. He said they were proudly displaying the blood, the message of the hour. What is the message of the hour? That was the one needed to follow the seals, the token. That's what the seals is all about. Amen. The evening message loosed the Holy Ghost to bring it back in the church, to put the church in a raptured condition. Because of the Holy Spirit in a dead body. Amen. But that mighty angel came and quickened the cold, stiff, dead body back to life. Before that Holy Ghost, that mighty angel came down in the Sunday, their body was dead in the tombs, in Baptist tombs and Methodist tombs and Pentecostal tombs. But that quickening power shook the body back to life and raised it up, friends. Are you a member in that body? Are you a member in that body tonight? Do you know you're part of that body by predestination? Hallelujah! Do you have the token to show you in that body? That body going in the rapture, not in the tribulation, in the rapture! And that's why we can sing it tonight, because we have the sign that our price has been paid. And I see the blood of sin because... Yeah. Because it's not a historical thing, Lord. All that we are looking forward to was purchased by that blood. All that we are ever going to have, all we are ever going to be, was because of that blood. And dear God, to have the faith to claim each part of the redemptive blessings in its season. Knowing, oh God, that you allotted these things along the way. That as your church advances forward, it can claim those things. Not trying to grab things as a baby that belongs to adults in Christ, but growing up into Christ the head. And claiming as we grow along the way, Father. And as the value of that blood is being revealed, producing faith unto faith, and the power of that blood changing us from glory unto glory, the blood becoming more and more valuable. Each stage of our growth and development, Lord. Because it's not just chemistry we are thinking about, but we are thinking about all of was in your mind that you made available to us. And that we can claim on the basis of that finished work, Father. Gracious God, tonight, it reminds us how your prophet when he came with all those gifts and the great power of the Holy Spirit in operation in his life, and it looks so mighty. Yet, Lord, he said he couldn't do nothing. And even you, Lord, couldn't do nothing if you had come. Because it's all done at Calvary. And that all those gifts only point us back to what was done. Through our faith in that finished work. And our identification, we can claim what was bought back for us. And you have sent the Spirit of truth, the life of the blood, who has brought forth the revelation of the word so plain
we can see the extent of their value, the completeness and the sufficiency of all that was purchased. Lord, we can start here tonight, knowing that a measure of that very life within our hearts, presenting it with our prayer as a sign that we are heirs of the promises of God. Because of Abraham and his seed were the promises made. And by being in Christ through the baptism of the Holy Spirit, we become Abraham's seed and heirs of the promises. And through faith and patience we inherit the promises. Standing on the promises of Christ all along. Bound to him eternally by love's strong cord. Overcoming daily with the Spirit's sword. We are standing on the promises, Father. We are claiming it. We are putting our footprints upon them. Every place that you have given it to us. We are claiming it because we see our name in that book. Like Caleb saw his name in that book. He said, Joshua, you remember what Moses said concerning me. Hallelujah. He made his claim, Lord. He looked in the title deed. And he saw his name and he saw the portion of inheritance that was allotted to him. And he came to the acceptor, the divider of that inheritance. And Father, through the faith that he received on his justified that atonement, he went forth and fought the three sons of Anak and possessed that mountain that belonged to him. Hallelujah! So dear God, tonight, know that Caleb represent the little group that stayed faithful with Joshua, the entire leader of the Holy Spirit. Grace that is leading the people into the promises after the law has come to its end. Hallelujah! To bring another Ephesians at the end of the ages. Where a man walking in the will of God can perform a paradox. He can stop the sun. Hallelujah! In the Ephesus. Glory! Knowing that God will be opening the seven seals in these last days, it'll open our way to bring us into our inheritance. Remember how your prophet prayed, Lord, it'll open to us this great Jordan that we can enter into that huge portion of heaven, into a land beyond the river. Oh, God! He can enter into that great place where there's power to bind the mountain and not. Hallelujah! Lord God, you've been speaking these things to us. You've been bringing us into by revelation, by ministering an entrance abundantly into the everlasting kingdom. The word made spirit and life, made power in the believer. Oh God! As we walk in them places by faith tonight, our hearts anointed with the spirit of truth, our faith grew waxing strong, finding a place to tie to an absolute, something that cannot be shaken, a kingdom that cannot be removed, knowing, oh God, you are the God of the amen. The God of unfailing promise, the God of finality, the God of the so be it, the God who is impossible to lie. Your promises are yea and amen. Hallelujah! Amen! Oh, and how we thank you and you reveal yourself in this form of the amen as a faithful and true witness at the very beginning of the creation of God. We thank you, Lord, that we are the continuation of that creation, and you are the faithful and true witness. Oh, God, you are the God of unfailing promise, the God of finality, who will bring this to pass in our lives. Oh, hallelujah! We thank you for this seventh thunder promise, this unfailing promise, this Holy Ghost promise. Hallelujah! Thank you, Jesus. Blessed be your wonderful name tonight. May it anchor down deep into every heart.
There be no fear. There be no doubt. Your people will know in whom they have believed in. And be persuaded that he is able to keep that which they have committed unto him, even against that day. Having this confidence that you will begin to work in us, will perform even until the day of Jesus Christ. Because you are the author and the finisher of our faith. We are your workmanship, created unto good works in Christ Jesus. You are building a great masterpiece. And you will step in and finish this great commission. Oh, thank you, Jesus. How we want to stay in union. How we want to walk in close communion. There'll be nothing between our souls and our Savior. We'll be so joined, no longer twain, but one. As you said in that day, you'll know I in you and you in me. May you grant it, Father. We stand here tonight and we think upon these things. For you said if there's anything as honest, as of virtue, as of good report, think of these things. Meditate upon it. Give yourself wholly unto it. Don't turn to the right or to the left of it. You'll have good success. You'll prosper our ways. We'll not save others only. We'll save ourselves only. We'll save others also. May we walk in faith and praise. Grant it, Lord. We thank you. We give glory and praise. Out of Hebrews 11, James 2. Praise God for me. Hebrews 11, and James chapter 2. We'll be about to close, so not much longer to be here, but it's always good to read the scriptures. Together because what our eternal destination is based upon. It's the only thing that will not pass away. Heaven will pass away, but the word will never pass away. All things are created by the word, for God himself is the word. If you abide in me and my word abide in you, ask what you have. I'm looking at Hebrews. I'll read the first one in Hebrews 11. I just want to read a couple of verses in Hebrews 10 and verse 35. Hebrews 10, verse 35. It says, cast not away therefore your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward. For you have need of patience, that after you have done the will of God. The will of God is the word of God revealed to you, showing you the mind of God, what he wants done in his word. After you have done the will of God, you might receive the promise. For yet a little while, and he that shall come will come and not tarry. Now, the justified ones, the ones who have this great revival of the just. The ones who have been acquitted from guilt. The ones in whom there is no condemnation. No condemnation means acquitted, means justified, means released from guilt. Those who have accepted the pardoning grace of the living God. Now the just shall live by faith. The man who is not justified is still trying his own works of the flesh, hoping to get justification, because the God of this world has blinded his mind from the atoning work of Jesus Christ, and how God makes a man just, how God remits a man's sin, how God releases a man from guilt, how God takes a man out from under the condemnation of the law and make him bring him under grace. He still is blinded from those things. So he's trying to justify his own self. But the man who's just, he lives by faith. Yet a man, he lives still by the ability, the energy of the flesh. He's still trying to live the life. But the other man lives by the faith of the Son of God. Paul said, the life I live now, I live by the faith of the Son of God. I used to live a life before the Pharisee, when I was under the bondage of law, when I was trying to establish my own righteousness, not having a knowledge of the righteousness of God. But he said, no, that I may be found in him, not having my own righteousness, but having the righteousness of God by faith in Jesus Christ. That is what I want, rather than live by faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. Amen? Amen. So watch. Now the justified ones shall live by faith. But if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. But we are not of them who draw back unto perdition. But of them that believe to the saving of the soul. We are to hold our confidence steadfast unto the end. We don't cast away. Having confidence, he who begin the work will perform it. He is the author. He is the finisher. He don't abandon his program. It have no obstacle too big for him to frustrate him, to abandon what he started. And to begin the good work in you, he will perform it. And you don't cast away. Redemption has two parts, out of and into. If he comes down and begin to take you out, he's going to take you into. No Amalek going to stop you on your way. Hallelujah. I don't know how people read the Bible and see unbelief. Do you remember how read the Bible and see faith? And then you read the Bible and see power and finish hope. Hebrews 11 verse 31. By faith. Revelation. That's what we need. Revelation. The just shall live by what? By faith. Hebrews 11, Hebrews 10, he ends up telling you to just shall live by faith. And Hebrews 11, he goes into all the examples of those who is justified by faith. And he started off with Abel, who God testified by his gifts that he was. What does righteous mean? Justified is what righteous means. God, he had righteousness of his lamb that he was identified with. His guilt went on the lamb, and the lamb righteousness came on him, and God testified by his gifts. His gifts was the sacrifice he brought an atonement based on blood. And blood means the atonement died. Because it means that without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sin. Because death is the penalty of sin. He was supposed to die. The lamb died. The shedding of blood of his lamb was the sign that a life was being given for him, taking his penalty. And so the wrath of the Lamb came on him, and God said, yes, you're righteous. Because the fire came down and turned his lamb into ashes. And when God turned the ashes, it was a sign of the acceptance of the sacrifice. When God raised Jesus from the cross, raised him from the dead rather, was a sign of the acceptance of the sacrifice. And he comes right down to Hebrews 11, by faith, by faith, by faith, by faith, by faith. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Moses' parents, Moses, Joshua, and he picked up Rahab. And he puts her in there because the Holy Ghost saw that was the same faith that Abraham had. That was the same faith Moses had. That was the same faith Daniel and all of them had. Rahab had that faith when she asked for the token. You see, sometimes the carnal mind don't see the faith. I ask you to talk about people who have faith in the Bible. You might even call Rahab. But watch how faith in atonement that can satisfy the justice of God, that though she is in the place where the judgment is to be poured out on the wall, God's attack was on the wall and she lived on the wall. She was in that land where the wrath was reported when the destroyed angel was told slaughter everything. But her faith was, if you give me a token that can satisfy the justice of God, it will not come near me. I'll be safe. I'm not I am not afraid. I'm bringing all the family too. You can't believe it.
She won't say I'm risking the family in case they're right, it's only I will die, but the family will disappear. No, she knows. It's so sure. I'm bringing all who can bring on date. Because that's safety here. You understand what I'm saying? Then if she has faith in a red thread, all had atoning about was the color. The only atoning thing about that thing was the color. You have the Lamb that was God Himself, pick up flesh that died, that could release the life of the Holy Ghost, not a piece of red thread. They asked her to put her life on that piece of red thread. Because they was related to it like the blood. They didn't have time to kill no lamb and so on. But they know that was going to work for the time. So I put my life on that piece of thread to make a joke. And here somebody trying to get you to put your life on the wood. And the Holy Ghost pick up you and say, by faith, Rehab. You only read about Daniel and Isaiah and them inside of here by revelation, you know. You don't read about Elijah. When you read Hebrews 11, you don't see Elijah's name and Daniel's name and you know. You hear about shutting out the lands. You hear quenching battles of fire like the Hebrew boys. See? But the thing is, you read Rehab's name inside of me by faith, Rehab. And here you have a message. Thinking about a pillar of fire, a pillar of cloud, signs of the wonders around the world 7 times. Descriptive, the proofs. Hundreds of thousands of visions confirmed on the platform before Congress. Hundreds of thousands of people challenge all the religions and prove that this is right beyond all the other things. And then God has to force you to get your faith anointed to come on this. What them two spies tell a woman, the spies here is telling you beyond what they can tell a woman. Think of it.
Thank you, Lord Jesus.
They were talking about, dear Joshua, we don't know about Joshua.
Yeah. Seek him, Lord.
Isn't that right?
Yeah.
By faith, the house will perish not with them that believe not when she had received the spies with peace. James.
Hallelujah.
Just think of the virtue that has in believing tonight, okay? Just think that virtue in believing. And I want to believe. I want to have that virtue of believing. Believe in the word. Not my thoughts, not my feelings, not my ideas, not what man say, not how eloquent it sounds, what God says. That every man would be a lie, that God would be the truth. Verse 21. Let's just read from here. Let's back up. Verse 14. What does it profit, my brethren? Do a man say he had faith and have not works? Can faith save him? If a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, depart in peace, be warmed and filled, notwithstanding you give them not those things which are needed to the body, what doth it profit? Even so, faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. Yea, a man may say, thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. You can show somebody faith without works? You can't do it. Thou believest that there is one God. Thou do as well. The devils also believe and tremble. So there goes that. Me no Trinitarian, you know. I have a denomination, I believe in one God. You and Satan have the same revelation. You gotta go a little further than that.
he's talking about not just saying that, he's talking about faith works. Faith that works in union. But will thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? Was not Abraham our father justified by works? Now here we come to the word again. The just shall live by faith. And what's here? James is saying, wasn't our father Abraham justified by works when he had offered Isaac his son upon the altar? Seest thou how faith wrought with his works, and by works was faith made perfect? Say, boy, my faith has been perfected. Yeah, because you've seen your works coming forth. See, my faith has been made perfect by other works. You have scripture. See, your works show your faith is being made perfect. And the scripture was fulfilled, which said, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness. Now, this is very tricky here if you don't have Revelation. Verse 21. James is saying, wasn't Abraham our father justified by works when he had offered Isaac his son upon the altar? That is Genesis 22. Verse 23, he's saying here, and the scripture was fulfilled, which said, Abraham believed God and was imputed unto him for righteousness. That is Genesis 15:7. The scripture was fulfilled, which said, Abraham believed God and was imputed unto him for righteousness. God told him he's righteous. God told him he's justified. God recognized that he had believed God and he received an imputed righteousness before God. It is there at that point he was justified. Not when he came out from earth Chaldeism. He come out and he journey until God see the faith. Because he came out with his father, he came out with the Lord, and God didn't tell him to bring them. And he stopped in Haran, and his father died. And for years God didn't talk to him. Because he was coming out, but still with unbelief. Starting. But God couldn't say, hey, you're justified because you come out. No. It was not until Genesis 15:7. Then it says, God says, look at the star, so shall the seed be. And he believed it. And then God says, it was imputed unto him for righteousness. That's when he was justified. And James is saying, but that was only fulfilled when he offered up Isaac. In other words, he had something from God that God told him. But man now could turn around and justify him. When that faith that he had received began to live out where man could see it. So we talk about justification here, but remember, there's two sides of it. It's not justified. You're acquitted from guilt. You've been released. You accept your pardon. Hallelujah. You're going forward. The revival of the just. Glory to God. That will be fulfilled when man turn on the eye and see by your works that faith has truly taken a hold of your life. Remember, man can't see the gene in you, but man can see the works to prove that it's not the energy of the flesh, it's the Holy Ghost that liveth in you. God spoke to Noah, and God knew Noah believed that rain was coming. But when Noah started to build the ark, man knew. The man believed what God was saying, even though it had no sign, no rain. When Abraham began to testify that he's going to have that baby,
And even when his body was dead, clinically proven it can't produce no baby, and he was still believing the hope against hope, man knew he had faith. But when God told him he would have that child, Abel got justified, but man couldn't see anything. But then man began to see the works when he began to buy the book and prepare the crib and everything. Man seemed preparing and making ready for the promise. So it don't do it too good to just walk on and justify, because justification produces works. Justification makes you prepare for the thing that you say you believe, and that God have imputed righteousness to you for. Man have to see that. James is looking from the standpoint of man. Paul is looking from the standpoint of faith. Paul is saying, you have the gene of God, that's why you believe. Because if you don't have the belief, you can't believe. As many as you are ordained to eternal life, believe. Not as many as you believe ordained to eternal life, you know. That means here, it's as many as you are ordained to eternal life, believe. He doesn't have an ear to hear what the Spirit says. He doesn't have the capacity to receive revelation. He doesn't have representation of predestination. He had predestined in the last section of the book. Remember, only them alone could believe. That's why the foolish virgins don't have to go through tribulation. They don't have the Holy Ghost. That's why they get confused. They can't tell you something right or wrong. See, the Holy Ghost is what makes a difference. The token, if the token is in you, then holy faith and holy works will be together. He says, and he was called a friend of God. You see that? He's making his point. You see that? That by works a man is justified, and not by faith only? In like manner also was not reared the heart. He's looking for a second example. And out of all the people he can think of, he can reared the heart. By inspiration, you know what? She speak of this last good. This last good. In like manner also was not read the heart justified by works, when she had received the messengers and had sent them out another way. For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. Which kind of faith we have? Dead faith or living faith? Dead faith has no works. You talk a lot. Living faith. Don't just talk, just act. May love us in the name of Jesus. We're going to have some service, special services that we want to announce tonight to you. And we want to have these services the 22nd, 23rd, and 24th. And right here in the assembly. And that is next week Friday, next week Saturday, and next week Sunday. And we have already announced these things in the other churches. It's supposed to be announced in Super Sunday as well. And we would like to have at least maybe four services. I'm still trying to contemplate what would be the way to finish there, whether to have the Lord's Supper, seeing that we just had it here locally last week. But we didn't have it out with the other saints. So if not that, then we'd like to have a praise service or something, or even a short service in the evening, or just mix it together, have communion and devotion and praise. So we're going to see what we're going to do last service, but Friday night, Saturday night, and Sunday morning. And one of the real objectives of this is because of the inspiration that has been given to us and what has been preached and being preached since the beginning of the year out in the local churches. And some of you sit down here and you only know what happened here, but there is some who move along to the other churches, and we go service Wednesday in Princeton, we go Thursday in Cedrus, and we do it every week. And Brother Melville is down there on Sunday mornings in Cedrus, Brother Morgan is Sunday morning in Princeton. I go even on Tuesday in Princeton, and the brothers rotate
Tuesday and Thursday in Cedrus. So we are certainly trying to work by spiritual laws to achieve spiritual things. We just believe that there's, when something comes to you and you see something, you're looking for something, just like in the natural. And if I give you a direction where somebody's looking to live and find them and, you know, give something to them or receive something from them, then I'll have to give you a proper direction if you have to find a place. If the person is down maybe in where I live, then I'll have to give you directions. I'll maybe have to tell you how much stoplights, I'll have to tell you how much right turns, how much left turns. And when you come in the street, what the street number is, or how you recognize the dwelling place, whether you know it by the fence, or you went to know it by maybe the front of the house or something, and then you follow those directions very carefully. If it's laid out to you properly, you find the place. If I miss a turn or two, then you can search the whole area and call the area and just get fed up and realize, you know, something is wrong, we're missing something somewhere. And so it is with the word. When God is giving something in any age to any people, there's a way that's laid out. The Bible is the roadmap that leads to the power. See? And faith brings into the power, and the power produces the promise. And the same God who, like any road builder does, he gives you road signs. And a man is driving down the road, he has a sign saying, curve coming up, or bridge, or major road ahead, or you have certain signs that you must observe, otherwise you're going to crash. And so it is, God have junctions of time, and God have signposts that identify these junctions. And that is why God had told the children of Israel, they're going to go into a strange land, they're going to go into bondage, they're going to serve 400 years, and after 400 years, he's going to give them a mighty hand. Well, they knew that. So they understood that deliverance is going to come, the time deliverance is going to come, how long they stay in bondage, and then that made them look for a deliverer. And when a deliverer appeared on the scene, then they had to, Moses himself said, Lord, how will they believe me? They wouldn't believe me. God said, I'll give you certain signs to confirm to them that you are the one I told them about. So God prepares his things because he's interested in his people receiving what he promised in the time that the promise is to be manifested. And when the people recognize that, they behave a certain way. We read how Amram and Joshua, and the parents of Moses, by faith, didn't fear the wrath of the king. They risked their life. They put that baby out in the Nile. Why? Because they was recognizing we in the time when this thing is to happen. Recognizing you in the time when God promised something taking place, it makes you behave a certain way. Look at Daniel. He was reading Jeremiah writings. God said, you'll be down there 70 years, and I'll bring you up. You mean to say, we'll be down there 70 years in slavery, not for vacation? And we are going to come out? God prophesied in Isaiah 44. He said, my servant Cyrus, and God called a man name before the man was born. He said, my servant Cyrus, my shepherd, is going to come. He's going to release you to the open of them gates and send you back out. Could you imagine what happened when the people see in the 68th year, they're down there, Daniel begin to pray, realizing it's two more years for 70 years. Then they see a great man, Cyrus, brother leading an invasion against the Babylonians. And then they see that city fallen and the might of Babylon has fallen. How the man of such wisdom, he diverted the riverbed. They come right up into the city and overthrew the city. And then he could read Isaiah, he could read Jeremiah, and knew that this is happening. And they expected to go out, not one or two, but by the thousands. And you read the story about how Zerubbabel and Shealtiel and all them, how they went back out there in droves of people, and they went back to the land. How Zechariah and Haggai and different ones there, when they went to build the house of God, and they dedicated it. And they saw what God said come in the past. Because God, when he promises something, he
He fixes it. That the people in whose lives this thing is to happen recognizes that God is working according to his promise in the season it was supposed to happen. Think of it. Look at Abraham. God promised my son. God didn't know how long it was going to happen. But in Genesis 17, God said, next year, this set time, Sarah will bear his son. Then we see God coming to Abraham and saying, I will return according to the time of life. Next 28 days, when we will have a cycle, because Sarah was barren. Then we see God bounces, and God did visit Sarah in the set time that he said he would do it. She realized that Solomon says that everything is a time and a season. And God marks the time and the season because it gives the believer expectation. And that's why people are going to watch the service too. Could have an idea one more time the service is finished. So if they find someone, the service will find the time taking long. Look at the watch and say, nah, it's a good time still. And you see that short, boy, they shall have to pack the Bible. You see them trying to behave a certain way. Why? Time you cannot behave so. No, it's a time. See? When some go outside, they know the car. When they get car out the road, so they don't hang around and drink Pepsi or Coke or water talk. Or they take straight off of the car. Why? Time. The knowledge of time. And if you do that in the natural, how much more in the realm of the spirit? That we learn to observe and understand things. That's how a spiritual life is governed. When the wise men came, they said, we have seen a star in the east and we have come to worship him. Because the stars was given for signs and for seasons. And they saw a certain star and they knew at that time supposed to have the Messiah on the earth. And when Herod, the Bible says, inquired of them at what time the star appeared, he went and killed children from 2 years down, hoping to catch the Messiah. Because he didn't want no other king beside himself. And that's why he killed them 2 years ago. They took them 2 years and they saw the sign, the star, to travel from Babylon to Jerusalem. See? And then they came there. And when they came with such confidence, they said, where is he, born king of the Jews? They said, all of them, it's supposed to have prophecies about a king born over here. All of them believe that? No, they said, where is he? He's supposed to be here. We have seen the star, come to worship him. He's here somewhere. Could you tell us some direction? Which house it is? Which street? See? They were so convinced he was there. Why? The sign that identified the time for the event was visible to them. And they're going to read it according to the program of God. Yeah. Faith is based on something. Expectations are a real thing. There are principles that produce faith, that produces expectations. And so, to believe or not to expect, when you're seeing signs, it could only mean one thing. You don't understand what you see. God described time by sign. Jesus tell him, he said, when you see the sun lowering, he said, it's fall weather. When you see this happening here, he said, rain going to fall. When you see the future of your body, he said, summer is nigh. He said, if you can discern these signs, can you not discern the signs of the time? Search the scripture. And see what sign is supposed to have. If I do the works, then do the man. But if I do the works testify of him. He was showing them. He said, John's a bright and shining light for a season. But I have greater witness than John. And he was showing them, if you had recognized who John was, if you had recognized that sign, then you'd be looking for the Messiah. Yeah. But because you didn't recognize who John is, they came and he said, Master, the scribe said, Elias must first come. Before the Messiah. So they don't believe you is no Messiah. He said, Elias have already come and they've done of them whatsoever they listed. They could recognize the sign. A true sign overlook. And that's why believers, if you overlook your sign, the presence of God will be unrecognized to you. And you will misunderstand, you will not recognize it there in your message. So there's a message sounding to you right now. did a sign and a time being brought to your attention. And that is to get your faith and your mind channeled in a certain channel where you ought to have expectations. And it should bring you so focused to give you the discernment to help you recognize the presence of God. You don't need no clouds and pillars of fire and so on. You're watching that God bring to pass in his season the things that he promised in the time it's supposed to happen. Tell the man the jubilee. He know when the trumpet is going to sound. He can sit down there and check the time. Every 50th year, in the 10th and the 7th month, a trumpet must sound. So if it's sung before that time, and a man drop his hoe and say, hallelujah! A godly man say, take up back that hoe. He said, I got no hoe. Who do you think you're to? I'm free. He said, free? Boy, is that self in? Shut him up, no food. Why? Because he tried to walk a season. Like Abraham did when he ran forth with Ishmael. Out of season. Wrong channel. It backfired. And that's what happens. You want to know, how do I recognize God? How can I have expectations? Is there a way that God identifies these things? What are the principles? When Amram and Jochebed were believing for their promise, how did they know the time? How did they know the season? When Daniel and them were looking for deliverance from Babylon, how did they know the time? How did they recognize the season? When the wise men came from Messiah, how did they know the time? How did they know the season? Would we in this age, in this time, know ours also? Is God the same, work the same in every age? Is there a way to tell what age we're in? What we're looking for? Is our expectation right? If I'm confused about my expectation, I'll believe one day and I'll believe next day. Next day I'm excited for that. Next day I'm excited for that. Next day I feel like I wonder, I feel like I have faith. Next day I feel like I have no faith. Then that'll be feelings. If it's faith based on a promise to be fulfilled in a season and that season is identified to you, then that faith is there every day. But the faith up and down today, then the faith is based on feelings. And it's not real faith, it's feelings. It's a boost in the senses. But faith is revelation. It's revealed. And revealed by it, tied to something. And you know what you're looking for. You know the season is supposed to happen. You know the results it's supposed to bring. You know the approach it's going to approach to it. You know your part you have to play in it. You know if it's by revelation you have. Revelation means justification. Because when it's revealed to you, you have faith. When it's revealed to you, then you can believe it. Not just a mental belief. You believe in it with unseen faith. Because it dropped down from the head to the heart. It's quickened. It is now the inspired word to you. You're not just hoping it right before you're reading the Bible. And still wondering whether it's season or the time or whether it's a promise for you. You're reading the book, so you say, true. You're reading the book. And you believe God can do it. But you know God would do it. That's where you get inspiration comes. They'll put you into action. And you have to obey the same principle. The just. In one place, three times in the New Testament, Paul uses that. In Romans, in Galatians, and in Hebrews. In each place, he makes a different emphasis. In one place, he emphasizes the just. And next place, he emphasizes live. And next time, he's emphasizing faith. If you're justified, you're going to live by his faith. See? Sure. If you have faith, then you have faith because you're justified. Because God recognizes that faith. Believe in his word. You accept it. You receive it. You're acting upon it. Hearing, recognizing, and acting upon it. The proof has taken a hold. It finds a place to go. So, because of that, we believe it's necessary before we span out long to have
have some meetings and catch the places together collectively for the church, because the other saints there, their contribution with your contribution together in the presence of God together, and God can really move among us. And so we are desiring to have those meetings, and we would like maybe to accommodate some of the saints, because it's very difficult and very expensive and very hard for them to travel from Cedrus to here back and forth. So if you have some accommodation, say, I could take a couple, I could take two single sisters, I could take two young brothers. Just see Brother Neville, and you just give him your name and what type of accommodation you can give. So if we have that, then it kind of helps the situation. And be open with this. Don't get in a kind of partisan kind of way. This is the church of the living God. Don't think about coming from the States, you know, and you kind of want to impress the visitors, and then their own right here. And James say, the man are old clothes, so you want to wear old clothes by you. They have a sleeping bag. Next week, you want a big luggage in the airport, a little accent, and nice. You get out your own room when you get in your room. So you go back to the States, and they write your letters, and they feel nice, and they see that great saint here. See, not that kind of business. We don't want that. These saints right here, that God makes us responsible for. Brother and sister, open up your place, you have a little room, you'll have it. It will bring a greater unity to the faith. It'll bring a greater harmony among the believers. God be able to bless us in a greater way. See, the body fitly joined and compacted by which every joint is supplied. We get to see the church grow. Remember, you'll be working against us, we'll be working against ourselves, we'll be working against one another. If we cannot really make the extra, go the extra mile. 2.5 years ago, God sent us down there and sent us upon his son, these two churches here, and God has done a great thing for them since. And many of you have not been in much contact with them, other than the early days when many used to kind of go down. But that don't mean to say because of absence and lack of contact, you don't have a revelation like your brother and your sister. These are people who have come under the truth, submitted the truth, and the meetings we are coming to have is that God can bless us together by God's grace. We have the facility up here, we have the place up here for the churches. You have to pray for somebody after service, because they don't have no place. You can even ask me to come to even minister to them personally. So it's always at a distance, and it makes it difficult. And then we feel at this time, instead of just, you know, preaching little talks and just going along and so on, we want to be in a way, because of what we believe, to exercise what we believe, to put what we believe into practice, and to get some doing, not just hearing and talking, but some doing. And we certainly are looking forward for your cooperation. And like God, we have done that in the past, we have done that many times before. We've had over almost 70-80 people from Guyana once, right here in the assembly, some from Venezuela at the same time. And in those days, we had even less accommodation to take care of them. And we're able to do it, so let's try by God's grace. Just for a weekend, so we ought to do our best. Make the saints feel welcome. What you have done to the least of his brethren, you have done to. Remember St. Martin? Jesus appeared and angry, half a coat. He said, "Oh, I get it." He said, "Martin, give this to me." See? Little old beggar decided the road, freezing. But he said, "Martin, give this to me." But Jesus let me find that little old beggar right there. And how much more, brothers and sisters, who believe in and walk in the same truth as you believe? Amen. So let's just try and do that. And, let's keep in prayer for the services. We'll remember the services. Pray for these meetings. And we trust by God's grace that will be well taken care of as well. So we close tonight. We get our brother here, and we try so hard to get him up here, I tell you. But a young man here who I met one time in Cape Town Hotel, and he was the gentleman that Renzi and Dave had went to pick up that night when they almost had a fatal crash. since the crash on this night, we said they're going to pick up to do the service. He said to pay God that to have him here by God's grace. You know, this night in Zach, come up here and even call up. And I trust that God will do something in his heart. As a young man, a decent young man, it is something that God gave him this great reality that changed our lives and caused us to have this great hope that we have to walk in this life that the apostles walk in, that the believers doctrine ages walk in. Not some denominational religion, not some man-made system or something, but the scriptures. I believe that God has restored this truth back in the evening time as a promise. He will restore back the original apostolic faith. And we are trying to walk with God's mighty prophet and vindicate these things. And here we are tonight, we have taught the scriptures in a light of something that we are expecting as believers in our very own life. When Jesus said, go and tarry in the upper room, they understood when the feast of the first fruits, when he came up, they understood the feast of Pentecost 50 days after. They understood he raised 40 days after. They knew it was not many days. They were waiting until that promise was going to come. Whenever God promised something, people walk by a law that brings expectation. They know they're in their season. They know what they're looking for. They know how to look for it. They can expect it. They work by spiritual laws to achieve spiritual things. And when you understand that the word is being preached, nobody not kind of grabbing up nothing here. The word that has been preached to you is laid out to you from the scriptures, from the message in this season. It's laid out a certain way for you. You might be hearing a lot of ways, but whenever you hear the way is coming, let me tell you, it's impossible for you not to have faith and not to be under expectation and not to participate. Because meantime, somebody walked to the desk with the will to speak, and we'll look at the faith, it's kind of good faith. Life is kind of good life. Sure. I know you can be down at times, and you can be going through your battles and so on, and the will of the clan break through that demon power and lift your soul up, sure. But you can't be that every day, man. And you can't be that after all these years being trained and know how to keep the punches of the enemy off of you. That's for novices. That's for people just coming to Christianity. That's for untrained people. You don't fight this on a BBA, do you? Learn how to pull up strongholds. So by God's grace, we'll be equipped, we're fortified, we're looking forward, we'll keep you informed as we develop the meeting, but see one another, tell them what kind of accommodation you have, and, you know, and please don't go and make no private arrangement outside the deacons. Give them a chance to do to function the ministry, please. Don't go and connect up nobody and tell nobody, you come by me and so, make your own event. Sometimes that's clear with you. Just show you can keep who God put by you. Alright? So it shows you're impartial, it shows you're preferential, it shows sometimes it's not a little clique. Sometimes the right person with the right person to be a blessing where God wants them. Amen. To be balm, to be healing, to be encouragement. The testimony is needed just in this place. When the spirit do things, they do it right the right way. And the body fitly joined and compacted. And it's spiritual, it's not carnal. And nobody don't get under obligation of nobody. And the church remains spiritual. And God keep moving on. And that's the way it is. And that shows you're growing. And that shows you have faith. And that shows you're maturing. And so, may God help us. Give us a wonderful time. And we hope to have a meeting tomorrow. Not you, I just informed you of some of the activities of the musicians, the some leader, I did basically active song leaders, not necessarily but at the come of the brothers choose to come, they'll come. But this is just a meeting for the meetings. Because we would like the different song leaders in the other churches to participate. We would like the songs that was written and the songs that is related to the inspiration for the meetings and what we are in to have preeminence to some of those things, because we are trying to walk in that kind of channel by God's grace. So we feel that it would be profitable for some who would have to participate, that we can be in one mind, we can know what we are looking for, we can come together as a team, and we can be in harmony, and you tonight can inform you some of these things, so you can pray, and you can be on expectation, and you can take a time to pray during the week, you can take fast for a day, for 2 days, as the Lord lead you, for for the meetings, that, you know, in breaking, it would be like the laboratory, preaching, discovering, preaching in the local assemblies. But when we come together, it can be now to put into effect some of what was discovered thus far, what is put together, and what can have a certain impact upon the hearts and lives of the saints, and they can benefit, and they can leave, you know, and that when the meeting is over, it can go back out into the different assemblies too, that it can just go to higher by God's grace. So may God really help us. Let's just bow our heads and pray. We would like to call on our brothers to pray tonight. May God Leo come and pray.
Thank you, Lord Jesus. O gracious Heavenly Father, Lord God, we are thankful, O God, for your greatness, your love and your mercy, O God, that you have drawn us, O God, in your divine presence, Lord. Lord God, we could come, O God, Lord, and lift, O God, our hands, O God, to thee, Lord. Seeing, O God, you have shown us, O God, Lord, when Moses, O God, was on the mountain, O God, when he lifted his hands, O God, Lord, how he prevailed, Father. When his hands drop, O God, Lord, how the enemy prevailed, Father.
Yes.
Come, O God. Lift it, O God, our hands, O God, and thank you, O God, tonight, Lord. Know, your God, Father, this power, O God, and praise, this power, O God, and worship, Father. O God, that is why we come, O God, Father,
thank
you, Lord, to
thank
give you praise,
Jesus.
To give you worship, to give you honor, Lord.
Hallelujah.
To give you, O God, Father, what you rightfully deserve, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Know, your God, Father, you are our everything, Father. You are our all in all, Lord. You are the only sufficient one, O God, Father. You are the one, O God, who had come down, O God, Father, in this day, Lord. Unfolding, O God, your word, O God. Showing us, O God, Father, who we are, Lord, and what we were raised up for in
yes.
this hour, Lord. Unfolding, O God, Father, the Joshua Commission, Lord.
Yes.
Showing, O God, Father, Lord, there is many, much more land to be possessed, Lord. And
yes.
how, O God, Father, you have given us strength, O God, to possess it, Father. Lord, and you have given
Thank
us,
Lord.
O God, Father, one, O God, Lord, who will lead, O God, Father, us in battle, Lord. And we see, O God, Father, day by day, Lord, you're coming, O God, and you're showing us, O God, Father, all these things, Lord. Even tonight, O God, coming down, O God, Father, and showing us, O God, Father, in such a way, Lord. May, O God, we take it, O God, Father, and hide it deep, O God, in our hearts, Lord. Knowing, O God, Father, you care for us, Lord.
Yes,
O God, that's why you're doing these things, O God, Father,
Thank
for us,
Jesus.
Lord. Because you console, O God, Father, about us, Lord. Because your promise, O God, Father, must come to pass in our very lives, Lord. Knowing, O God, Father, we were predestinated, O God, Father, unto the adoption of Lord. And that's why you come, O God, in this day, Lord. Provoking us, O God, to love and good works, Father. O God, have your way, O God, Father, among us, Lord Jesus.
Lord,
O God, Father, we must, O God, Father, accomplish your purpose, Lord.
With
your word, O God, Father, being sent, O God, to be found in us, Lord. Have your way, O God, among us, Lord, as we go, O God, Father, to our homes, Lord, to our loved ones. May the Holy Spirit, Lord, the one, O God, Father, have been ministered, O God, unto us, O God, along the years, Lord. May that one, O God, Father, minister grace, O God, unto them also,
Hallelujah.
Father. That they too, O God, Father, could be part of this ransom church, Lord. The one,
Thank
O God,
Lord.
Father, march me, Lord. O God,
Thank
have
you,
your way, O God, Father, to each and every one of us, Lord. Guide us and protect us, O God, along the way, Father. And keep us, O God, Father. Bring us back, O God, Father, at the time appointed, Lord. And even prepare us, O God, Father, for that great service, O God, and you are announcing, O God, at this time, Lord, knowing something great is about to happen, Father. That's why, O God, Lord, we will come, O God, Father, prepare ourselves for battle, Lord, the enemy, Father. Have your way, O God, among us, Lord, as we come, bringing our everything unto you. In
Jesus'
name. Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. As we go, let us sing, living below in this old sinful world, where could I go but to my Lord? In this old sinful world, where could I go?
lose somebody.